Welcome into an episode of the Patriots Podcast. Sean here with JJ.
Hello.
We are here for a Super Bowl recap podcast for the Super Bowl champions.
Super Bowl champs!
We're joined by a special guest tonight. We are honored to be in the presence of our resident super fan. He goes by Creech, and that's all you will know him as. Welcome, Creech.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yeah. Thrilled to be here. Just thrilled.
Well, you're here for a special episode because we've been doing this thing for 3 years, and this is our second time recapping a Super Bowl victory for the Pats. So, very pleased to be here.
Unbelievable.
So, what a fucking game. We thought that game against the Seahawks a couple years ago, we thought that was like
top level of how
crazy a Super Bowl can get. And we just, that was a 10-point deficit. We overcame 25 points in the second half.
Fucking ridiculous. Really, pretty much mostly in the fourth quarter.
I know. Well, the Seahawks game was 10 points in the fourth quarter, and nobody had ever done that before, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
And then this was, what, 19?
19 in the fourth.
Yeah, 19 in the fourth quarter, which is just fucking absurd.
Ridiculous. Yeah,
I mean, I was fully convinced they were going to lose by, like, third quarter.
I mean, it was a blowout.
Third quarter, I was honestly like, all right, they already lost.
It was a blowout. I mean, that's considered a blowout. You know, down 19 in the fourth quarter.
Oh, absolutely.
100%, yeah. I think everybody was probably watching the game with somebody who was like, oh, this game's over at the end of the second quarter. I can't tell you how many.
Everybody I was with.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many Snapchats I got that I watched on Monday of like Tevin Coleman's touchdown in the third quarter being like, game over.
You're yeah.
Like, regret that one, huh?
Yeah. A lot of people left the game, too.
Marky Mark left the game.
I know.
A lot of people left the fucking game or like walked out, stopped watching, shut it off, all kinds of shit like that.
The only person I had heard of was Marky Mark, like, you know, who got publicity from it. But
yeah.
No, the one kid at the party I was with, like, had his coat and his shoes and he was ready to leave, like, Pats fan.
What?
But he didn't.
Yeah.
Good. You can't walk out on a Super Bowl. Where's he trying to go? It's like 9 at night.
That was his level of anger, I think.
Shit.
Well, we were all probably a little sick to our stomachs. Watching that game. As
I haven't seen them play like that, you know, in a very long time, I want to say.
Possibly the worst first quarter for first half of football we've seen all year.
Yep.
Oh, 100% all season. Yeah, I was listening to Michael Lombardi, and he was like, this was the closest they've played to that Chiefs game in 2014. Like, that's how far back you have to go for them to play that shitty.
It was terrible. It was terrible first half. Awful. Everything went wrong. Every single thing went wrong.
We were giving up. We were actually moving the ball decently well in the first half. We just couldn't finish any drives. And we were getting negative plays. And then obviously you got the blunt fumble, the pick six. And then defensively, in the first half, we're just giving up chunk plays all the time. I mean, Devontae Freeman with a 30-yard run from inside his 10-yard line. Julio Jones had 3 catches each for 20 yards.
Yeah.
Taylor Gabriel, that wasn't until the third quarter, but he was picking up that big like 35-yard catch when Butler fell down. I mean, they were picking up huge chunks of yardage, and that's not what we do.
Well, no. It did all change on the blunt fumble.
Oh,
because they were moving the ball a bit, but like you know, made some necessary stops. But yeah, once that blunt fumble, they got a short field. They just rode that momentum, and then did the Pats go 3-and-out after that?
Yeah.
And then, so then they got the ball right back. Didn't they score right after that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So they scored another TD, and then.
And it was just fading fast, yeah.
Yeah. But, and then the pick six was shortly thereafter, so
yeah,
it got very ugly pretty quick.
Yeah, it was, we traded punts to start the game off, and then there was the blunt fumble, TD for the Falcons, 3-and-out, TD for the Falcons, pick six. That's.
21 real quick.
Yeah, yeah. So in the second half into overtime, the Patriots scored on 5 consecutive possessions, and we're all sitting here like, ooh, that's amazing. Well, they scored 3 consecutive touchdowns
on
their possessions in the first half.
Right in a row. Got up real quick.
Yeah.
And that changed the whole complexion of everything. I mean, within like 6 minutes of game time, it seemed like they were all of a sudden up 21-0, and we're sitting there like, is this
what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Tom Brady getting blown out in the fucking Super Bowl?
I know.
Like, this is how it's going to happen? Yeah, it was.
One bone I have to pick, I think they just gave the ball to LeGarrette Blount too much, I think. First two series, like, he was not running like he can, at least. I was screaming for Deion Lewis. Never really seemed to come.
Yeah, he really didn't even play a lot. I guess they thought the power back was going to go better against them.
I heard he actually tweaked his hamstring at some point in the game. They said he tweaked it earlier in the game. Too. And then on the last play of regulation,
it got worse.
He fell on the sideline, and that's when it looked pretty bad. But
yeah.
He might have been dealing with something.
I mean, also the coaching. You know, they even, you know, they came out and said it. They were like, yeah, we did not expect them to go to man that much. And it's like, we knew they were going to go to man a little bit.
We knew it was going to be a little bit, but they were almost exclusively in man.
And I couldn't believe they pulled it off. I mean, for them not to be able to make those adjustments quicker, I think was a little surprising. And then also us against their defense. You look at what we did in the second half. All we did was send a blitzer, whether it was a safety corner or a linebacker or an extra lineman. That's it.
Yeah, passing downs, we sent five. That was it.
That was it. That's how Trey Flowers knocked them out of field goal range, and they got the holding penalty on Chris Long. Those were both five rushers, and then Hightower's big strip sack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a
five rushers. Five rushers. Like, what the fuck took you so long?
Yeah, to finally get aggressive.
Well, what's-his-face just decided not to block him.
Yeah.
Devontae Freeman.
Or wasn't he out of the game, or was that Coleman?
That was Freeman just walked. That was Freeman. He just ran right past Hightower. Whiffed.
Yeah.
He didn't even, like, it wasn't like he was running a route either. He olayed him straight up.
He really, yeah, he was like, I'm not taking that.
Out in the backfield. This game was basically a tale of two halves. The Falcons dominated the first half. And then even into the second half, the Pats didn't have that much going. We got...
No.
We were down 28-3 in the third quarter. We were able to just basically limp down the field to get a touchdown.
Badly needed. I mean,
it was just taking forever and
was that the all the pass or the holding calls, or was that the drive
exactly,
back?
Exactly. Yeah.
Hang on. Wasn't that
the holding calls? Might have been.
I thought
earlier.
That was first half. Who cares?
I think that might have been the pick six drive. Actually, mm-hmm. was all the defensive holding calls.
Yeah.
You sure? I thought it was later.
There were so many holding calls. Let's see. Yeah. Third and ten. Yeah, defensive holding. Defensive holding.
So it was
the
drive when Brady threw the pick six.
Yeah.
That's it was.
Anyways, they were still running the ball.
Took us
a little more effectively.
13 plays, 6.5 minutes to go 75 yards to get that first touchdown. So it was just because we didn't have any momentum. We had no rhythm on offense. So we just limped it out. We had to convert a fourth down from our own 46 yard line. That was the Amendola play.
Well, even then, when they finally scored, you're like, okay, they finally scored a touchdown. They missed a goddamn extra point at that point. I think that was the low point, I think, for me, when I was just like, oh, good God. Now we have to do the whole two-point conversion thing. Like, fuck.
Yeah, exactly. When you're staring down a 19-point deficit. And then we're able to get the ball back pretty quickly and march down. We got inside, I think, certainly inside the 15-yard line, but we might have even been inside the 10. We were.
No, and then somebody, I think it was Bennett, got called for a hold, and that brought them back out.
Oh, yeah.
So, they were close to scoring a TD, but then he got that holding call. I think it was on second down, too, and then they ran some shit play on third down.
Brady got sacked on third down. One of the big plays. Grady Jarrett, some guy
who the fuck is that?
We glazed over that guy's name doing the preview. We're like, oh, he's a second-year player. He was like a mid-round pick, fourth or fifth round. He's a shorter guy. What's he going to do? And then he just wreaks havoc the entire evening. What do you have, three sacks?
Three fucking sacks. He had three all year.
Is that Super Bowl record?
He had three all season.
Yeah.
Riddle me that. What the hell was the deal? I mean,
O-line didn't play well.
Oh, they played terrible. That was their worst game all season.
They played terrible.
Yeah.
But still, like, how would a guy go from three sacks all fucking year, starting 14 games, and he gets three sacks in this game?
Shaq Mason probably had his worst game of his career.
He was playing bad.
And he's been such a good player all season, and then just his pass protection breaks down entirely. I mean, I'm sitting here expecting Joe Tooney to have some issues. David Andrews is a tiny little center, little pudge ball, and he seemed to play okay. I mean, not as bad as Shaq did.
Oh, yeah. Shaq Mason got ran over like three times that I could remember.
Repeatedly.
Just on skates.
Repeatedly. It was brutal. And that was, I mean, for me, that's really the story of the game, is our offensive line fell apart for 40 minutes of this game. And Brady got sacked five times. I mean, how many times was he pressured? He was on his back all the time. We got eight quarterback hits, according to the stats that I'm looking at.
They were big hits, too. It's not like they were like, he falls down and they touch him. Getting crushed.
It's getting lit up. So you see when that happens. I mean, we saw it earlier this year. Our first time we played the Jets, he gets a little happy feet. And that's always been the formula against Brady. And then we just kept running plays. We just stayed out there and just kept going. We attempted 60-plus passes. And then their pass rush, just the legs gave out of it. They didn't have quarterback pressure for the last 15 pass attempts.
Yeah.
Well, they couldn't. Brady was, what, 12 of his last 15, right?
Something like
so
that.
So that was basically the whole fourth quarter in overtime. Yeah.
If you don't pressure him, he's going to tear you apart. Everyone knows this.
So they had to do this.
They ran out of gas.
They ran out of gas. They had to go to zone defense mostly because they couldn't handle it. And Brady tore him apart. Literally ripped him apart.
Yeah, I mean, you say that's the formula. So it's just another testament to Brady's fucking balls and toughness and everything, man.
To overcome that.
He was able to overcome that. Just, I mean, absolutely at the absolute final hour and just gut it out. Just, oh, man.
I know.
Whew. I mean, they were on the play for, they were on the field for 90-something plays.
Yeah.
And you would have thought that we would have been tired, too. I mean, that's not fucking like, easy offensively.
I can't remember the last time a game had freaking 90 offensive plays.
90 plays that's is absurd. Something you hear out of, like, Alabama or some college football program. That doesn't happen in the NFL.
The thing that was funny, too, is Brady looked like he was just getting going, like, in overtime.
Yeah.
Like, that's when his game fucking started. Yeah, he was like, he had that gleam in his eye.
In overtime.
And, yeah, he was just on a mission.
Oh, he was zoned in, 100%. In the second half, we went over the scoring plays in the first half. The sequence in the second half was Falcons score a touchdown after a couple punts from both teams, and then the Patriots go touchdown, field goal, strip sack, touchdown, touchdown, overtime, touchdown. Not to mention the two-point conversions that are mixed
two
in.
Two of them.
So, I mean, you can't play more dominantly than that at the most crucial moments of the game.
And the two hardest things, you needed the two-point conversions, which really scared me, and you had to stop Atlanta from scoring again, getting any more than 28. That was it. I mean, if they scored one more time, we kept going over the clock, and you know, it wasn't possible to score more than fucking 28 points.
Which brings into question what happened on the Falcons drive. They find themselves the Patriots 22-yard line, first and 10 after Julio Jones makes the catch of the year. Which was, I mean, later replaced by a different catch of the year, but we'll get to that. Julio Jones makes an unbelievable catch. I have no idea why he even threw the football. Eric Rowe had perfect coverage. And then they're sitting there, first and 10 from the Patriots' 22-yard line. They run the ball on first down. Good move, right?
Yeah.
You lose 2 yards, and then what? They freak out.
Yeah.
They decide to throw the ball on second and 12, take a big sack. Now you're at the 35-yard line. You're looking
Pat's called a timeout.
Pat's called a timeout, yeah. So we used our first timeout right there, and now you're sitting at, I think it was like third and 25 from their own 35-yard line. And then they throw the ball again. Can somebody explain that to me? Do you really think you're going to pick up the 25 yards?
I have no idea, man.
I don't know what they're trying to do.
Right at the edge of field goal range, you can't take a negative play whatsoever. They get it to Mohamed Sanu on the left sideline. He yanks Logan Ryan's face mask the fuck off.
Which,
Logan pulled on his a little bit, too.
Same play.
No flags there. Just a flag in the backfield holding on Jake Matthews, held Chris Long, bumps him back to the 45-yard line. And then they throw an incomplete pass.
Yeah. It was. It was.
You can't play that any worse. You can't lose 25 yards and not stop the clock once.
I mean,
not run the clock once.
People say that Pete Carroll's call 2 years ago was the worst call in Super Bowl history, and it probably is. But that was like he was kind of caught up in the emotion. I'm sure, just like I mean, everything absolutely down to the line. Like this is prolonged stupidity from the Falcons.
It really is
offensive play calling. Like I mean. Anybody on the couch could tell you to just run it, and you get 3 points, and the game's out of reach, and you're bleeding the clock.
Yeah,
the game's over.
Time. That's all three timeouts.
What are you thinking?
He probably would have missed it. Everything was going wrong. Started like the guys started getting injured for them. They couldn't complete a fucking pass after that. Their offense just shut down. Like, everything was going wrong. They probably would have missed the fucking kick, and then everyone would be like, why didn't they pass it? They needed a touchdown. No, I
don't think whether or not your passing game is in rhythm has anything to do with your kicking game.
Well, still, even if you run the ball 3 times, you make them burn all their timeouts.
Exactly.
Or you're bleeding the clock.
Right.
Even if you lose 10 yards in the process.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're still in field goal range.
You're still in field goal range. Yeah. Instead, they throw 2 incomplete passes, get a sack and a holding penalty, and all of a sudden, you're punting.
It was terrible.
And so that was the final drive, right?
That was the Falcons' last drive.
No, they punt the Patriots down to the 9, and then that's just, I was just like, wow, Brady right here.
Yeah, right.
He's coming for it.
Yeah, you got Absolutely. 2 minutes left. Brady with 2 timeouts from inside his own 10-yard line, needing 8 points in the Super Bowl. I mean, you can't script that any better.
Yeah. You knew he was taking it. You knew he was taking it. It all came down to the 2-point conversion, if they could get that, because that's how we lost last year to Denver. But He pulled it off. Two really good plays in the, for the two-point conversion plays.
The the second two-point conversion scared the bejesus out of me.
Very close.
Yeah.
I feel like they just kind of rushed into it. Like, I wasn't totally prepared. I felt like there was going to be more build-up to it, and they just snapped the ball.
No, they had that call in before they, you know, the drive even started, apparently. Like, they knew what they were doing, so they got to the line real quick and just fire.
Mm-hmm. Before they could even diagnose. Well, I hope they know what their top two two-point conversion plays are going into a game.
Yeah, I loved the James White direct snap. They dusted that one off after, you know, some time deep in the playbook.
Yeah, everybody who's been watching this team for a decade plus was like, Kevin Falk, holy shit. They pulled it back out in the same stadium. They ran that the last time they played the Super Bowl there in 2003.
Oh, yeah. against the Panthers.
They did the direct snap to Kevin Falk.
There you go.
And they pulled it right back out.
Wasn't that a two-pointer?
Yeah, it was a two-point conversion.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Unbelievable.
That is fucking awesome.
You'd think they'd be ready for that shit.
And then everyone in the country knew, or the world, whoever the fuck was watching, if Brady won that coin toss, there was no way Atlanta was getting the ball. You just saw Matt Ryan like pacing up and down the sideline like, fuck, how did it come to this?
He's not getting back out there.
Like, exactly. To get not even let the best offense in the league back on the field is just unbelievable.
Did you hear what the some of the defensive players were saying after the game that they were on the sideline and like Matt Patricia's coming up to him, okay, if we have to punt and we got to play defense, like this is what we're going to do. And like McCourty's like, dude, we're not going back on the field. Have you seen the way 12 is playing?
Really? That's awesome. I didn't hear that.
I'm sure he listened. Yeah. I would hope so. But,
no, obviously. But everyone knew.
Level of confidence.
Brady had that look in his eye like, I'm scoring a fucking touchdown right now. Nobody is stopping me.
Yeah.
And he did. He did.
I mean, as if it wasn't cemented before, it is absolutely cemented now. The ultimate GOAT, absolutely no argument. Same thing goes for Brady, if you ask me. I mean, conversation begins and ends. He's Jordan. That's what I refer to him as, Jordan, because Jordan is the undisputed GOAT of basketball.
Yeah, I hear you. It would be hard to make an argument. I guess somebody could say Peyton's got more MVPs or... He's got more career.
I don't think
stats.
Anyone's
he's
even
got
it's,
more in season.
You know,
stats
it's funny is people kind of jumped over that season. Whole argument of best quarterback ever. And they're like, is he the best player ever now? And it's like, oh my god, like what kind of conversation is that?
Well, that's a difficult one.
Yeah,
you know,
because Jerry player, Rice is almost insurmountable.
Reggie White, like you know those
he's like
guys.
He's got a Hall of Fame career and a half. Like you can take away 30% of his stats and he's still a Hall of Fame career. That's how good Jerry Rice was.
So I just think it's funny that everyone just kind of jumped over that conversation that everyone's been having for the past 5 years about all these quarterbacks. And they're like, oh, now is he obviously he's the best quarterback ever. What about the best player ever? It's like, oh, you don't even want to talk about it anymore.
Well, because it doesn't even get any point to just agree. Do you think he's the best? Yes. How about you? Yes, obviously. And then, all right, we just wasted 10 seconds.
Yeah.
We got 40 more minutes to kill here.
That's all we're doing here, right? Fill in airtime.
Yeah, well, we can press the stop button whenever we want. That's the beauty of this.
I'm aware.
We kind of glazed over Edelman's catch. I mean, is that the greatest catch you've ever seen?
Possibly.
It was the most improbable, I would think.
It was the most ridiculous, How it
two
happened.
Defenders. Two the feet of two different defenders.
And there was three there. Yeah. There's three guys. He landed on three Falcons guys.
I mean, just one unbelievable thing after another. With that said, as soon as he did catch it, I thought he had caught it the entire time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I never once thought it was a drop.
No, with the way that referee came
in. He saw the whole thing. That was unreal.
That was one of the best calls I've ever seen. I mean, it forced – well, it put the onus on the Falcons to call – to challenge it versus the Patriots having to challenge it to reverse that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the rule is around the 2 minute warning and pulling a challenge flag, but throwing the challenge flag with 2 minutes and three
seconds.
I was just going to say,
that was so stupid.
When we were nowhere near snapping the ball, it's not like we were at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
We were still in the hut. We weren't even going to run a play.
We were to use it up, but they gave us another timeout.
And it was their last timeout. They got the ball back with a minute to go. I mean, that's not a terrible place to be when all you need is a field goal if you got a minute and a timeout.
Yeah.
So they just basically gave that one up.
And they burned their timeouts in the third quarter, didn't they?
A couple times.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to make any mistakes when you're up 25. So don't begrudge them too much on that one. The kick return after we tied the game up in the fourth quarter, and the guy takes it out of like four yards deep in the end zone and barely makes like the 11 yard line.
What are you doing?
It's like, that was the dumbest move you could have made.
They're just reeling at that point.
All their
and yardage.
All their decisions up, basically with 6 minutes left in the third quarter on, were just terrible. Just terrible call.
If you're the
game.
49ers, do you want to be like Kyle Shanahan? Like, nah, never mind.
I was going to say, they just hired him to a 6-year deal, too.
Yeah, do you hear all the perks?
No.
The perks you get.
He apparently has a 6-year deal. He gets to choose his own GM. He gets final say over, like, personnel.
What?
And he's not hiring an offensive coordinator.
Jeez.
So
he's running the show.
Quite the setup there.
That's a Belichick setup right there.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
But after watching that game, do you look back and you go, hey, Kyle, explain this to me. You guys are up.
I can't.
You're
get
up
over
16
it.
Points in the fourth quarter, and you're on 3rd-and-1 from your own 25, and you decide to take a 7-step drop and throw the football. What's going on there? What's going through your mind? 16 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
3rd-and-1, and he throws the ball on a deep drop.
Yeah. I don't know.
Asking for disaster.
And then Hightower comes up with a huge play, strip sack, puts us in short yardage, and now we're one score away.
Yep.
Like, when that happened, that's when I actually thought they might have a chance to win.
Yeah.
Needed
before
something
that,
like that,
I was like, no way.
We needed
turnover, short field, tons of momentum.
The only thing that was holding on, you know, gave me a glimmer of hope was like, okay, we're down 25. If you could pick any player in NFL history to lead a comeback, who would it be? Probably Tom Brady. I mean, I would think he'd be my number one pick. So it's like, okay, well, we have the best chance right now with the best guy to do it. So there's a small chance, as unlikely as it is, there's a small chance. And he fucking did it. He fucking did it. Go figure.
Yeah, and he did it in classic fashion, where it was just mistake-free football in the fourth quarter. Did everything. I mean, people have been saying, did the Patriots win this game or the Falcons lose this game? And there's an obvious answer to that. It's both.
Yeah.
We mentioned like four of the Falcons' mistakes. I'm sure there were a couple more that we didn't even think of. And then not to mention all the third down conversions that we put together, the 2-point conversions, Danny Amendola getting
conversions.
Yeah, fourth down conversion we had in there.
Well, the other one, remember Marty?
James
Marty's
the game of his life. What?
When they batted the ball up in the air and Marty happened to come down with it.
How about that?
That should have been picked.
Wow.
That was to start the drive, right?
Yeah, that was a really dangerous play. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That was insanity.
At the same time, like, there were, like, I felt like there were, like, five plays like that. Where
you're
just like, whoa, my God, that was close.
Right?
Like the fade to Marty at the very end of overtime.
Yeah.
When Vic Beasley got a hand on and we're all sitting there like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Don't pick
Can't
it.
Can't have that.
I know. That was crazy. The whole thing was crazy.
So many players stepped up. I mean, Malcolm Mitchell came alive in the second half.
Hero.
He had 6 catches for 70 yards.
They even Amendola. Said James White had set a Super Bowl record, 14 receptions.
I was getting there. I was building up to that. Why don't you jump all the way to the end? It's like, now I want to talk about Martellus Bennett having a pretty good game, 5 catches for 62 yards, and you just topped that with 14 for 110. All right, fine.
Yep.
Yeah, James White. I'm surprised he didn't win the MVP. He had 3 touchdowns, Super Bowl record for catches, 2-point conversion.
They just couldn't not vote for Brady.
You can't not give it to Brady.
They're
in that
like,
situation.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
In almost any other game, you get 3 touchdowns in the Super Bowl. That's got to be pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a running back, especially.
Yeah. He set a record for most points in a Super Bowl, 20.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So he got the 2-pointer, too.
Yeah.
He was great. He was breaking tackles. He made a couple moves in the open field, and just more than anything, sure-handed. 16 targets, 14 catches. Pretty decent percentage.
That's ridiculous.
Put that in perspective, Edelman had 5 catches on 13 targets.
Wow.
Although, whenever Brady throws the ball away inbounds, it's usually in Edelman's direction.
Right.
Yeah,
he just kind of gets rid of it.
Had a couple drops, though.
He did. He had one ball go right through his fucking hand. Yeah. Same with Hogan.
That little crosser. Right
back to back. It was like, oh my God, guys. That was in the third quarter when we were trying to come back.
That was brutal.
But it also just shows you the talent and toughness of this fucking team. I mean, you're down that much off of a few just bad plays. And, you know, most teams would just be like, wow, we're fucked. They were done. But those guys, I mean, they spotted them 25 fucking points or 21 points or whatever you want to say, and they still won. Like, they still fucking won the game.
It's ridiculous, man. You've seen them, like, make comebacks like that through the years, like the Saints game.
Yeah.
I think it was, what was it, 13? Yeah. Like, the Saints game, the Browns game at home.
Mm-hmm.
couple other just like crazy comebacks, but never in like a playoff game or especially not a Super Bowl.
No. Well, and
they don't usually dig those yeah. pits to get yeah. out of.
Well, there. I mean, there's even been regular season games where we've come back like 30 points and just not won. Like we've lost by a field goal yeah. or something.
Think like, about that Niners game.
Yeah. The Niners game, the Eagles game, like a year or two ago.
Oh yeah, yeah. Last
like,
year.
I mean, so you knew that they had. You know, Brady can do something. It's just, I mean, all that. I mean, they had a 99.8 chance of losing that game in the third.
Yeah.
0.02. That's all they had, and they did it. That's fucking insane.
Fucking insane.
It'll broke, pull it off.
Broke 24 records, tied 5.
Wow. So where do you rank this in terms of their Super Bowl games and victories?
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I don't
right?
I don't think the Falcons are the best opponent we've faced in right. the Super Bowl. I think probably the Seahawks or the 0-1 Rams
mm-hmm.
were the best teams that we've played.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of cardiac arrest among the fan base, this one's number one.
Easily.
Yeah, definitely.
The most fun game for me would probably be the 2014 game against the Seahawks. Just Malcolm Butler coming out of nowhere.
I mean, that was pretty unreal.
Yeah.
As the seconds are ticking away and we're losing all sense of hope,
mm-hmm.
that immediate reversal of fortune, that was my favorite. What do you think, Jamesy?
I'd say for most exciting game, I think in Super Bowl history, I think this takes the cake. I mean, how 25 points? Like you can't. That doesn't even make sense. Like Belichick even said it. Like he had to go wide back and watch a tape to make sure it wasn't a dream because he was like, we were down 25, right? It's like there's no chance they win the game, and they won. So, I mean, as in terms of excitement and just, like, overall game played, like how crazy it was, I'd say that was number one. But for the Patriots, Super Bowl is, like, the best overall game and moment and all that shit. I would probably agree with you in 2014. Just how, you know, that was very exciting. And for Brady to – that was a bigger hump, I feel like, for Brady to get over, you know, 10 years removed from his last Super Bowl victory. So – you know, that's a lot of on him, a lot of stress. Can he do it again? Is it even possible? And the fact that he did that, you know, against one of the best defenses we've seen in a long time. I mean, that's probably more impressive mm-hmm. to me.
Yeah, the biggest thing about this game was just, like, the way that they won, you know, just because they dug that hole.
Yeah.
But, like, in terms of, like, overall storylines and kind of, like, the way the game played out, 2014 is the best, but... this is, like, probably tied second with the Rams game. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're tough. So many to choose from.
They're all exciting. This is, you know, this is our largest margin of victory
I know.
In the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
This game.
Didn't even think about that.
Yeah. It's friggin'
every
ridiculous.
Every other game that Brady has played in the Super Bowl was decided by 4 points or less. So this was the blowout of the bunch.
Yeah. Something that we never led. We never once led the game.
Yeah, until they won.
While the clock was moving.
Yeah.
Never once had a lead. This game actually turned out, I mean, if you were betting on it, turned out the way we expected. Mm-hmm. The Patriots scored in the 30s, the Falcons scored in the 20s, and the Patriots won by more than 3 points.
Well, the funniest thing is that they covered. I mean, on top of everything, they fucking covered the spread. So all those people who were shitting themselves that they lost thousands of dollars or whatever it happened to be, they still won money. Plus, you know, that must have been ridiculous for them. I mean, I'm not a betting man, but that is fucked. Like, the odds of them winning are 0.2%. There was a chance where you could have put a couple hundred, like, if you put $100 down, you would have won, like, $4,000.
Yeah, my friend said he was at plus 500, like, after Brady threw the pick six in the second quarter. So, he was like, thinking about it, but no, he didn't.
Oh, that would have been such a good move.
Yeah.
Double down on that bet.
Double down.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. So I guess getting into the more nitty-gritty of how the game worked out, we talked a lot about Julio Jones going in, who's going to cover him. Obviously, mm-hmm. we felt that they were going to double-team, which they did a good amount of the time, not all the time. He was matched up with Eric Rowe at times, Logan Ryan early in the game, and he was giving Logan some fits.
Yeah.
We saw Malcolm Butler on him rarely, not that mm-hmm. often. Butler was on Taylor Gabriel much more often.
And
Julio
Muhammad
Jones.
Sanu, right?
Yeah, Sanu as well. Julio Jones had 4 catches on 4 targets, pretty decent, but he racked up 87 yards. Those 4 catches is a career low for him. Can you believe that?
Really? They really didn't look for him. I mean, he's making circus fucking catches, and they're not looking for him.
Exactly. Well, if you're double covering him, then you probably shouldn't be looking at him every single play. But only four targets, and he completed all four catches.
Yeah, it's like, what stopped you?
Remember that one over the middle where he, like, Logan, like, slapped at his arm, and he bobbled it and caught it with the other hand?
Almost everything he had was contested and really good coverage, and he just made great catches.
Guy's unbelievable freak.
Well, even coverage, I mean, even first half, the coverage was terrible. Malcolm Butler, our best cornerback, got shooken out of his boots
by a third receiver, third quarter.
I'm sorry. That was
Didn't he trip? Was that the play?
Yeah, well, he tripped because he got him.
Whatever happened, it was bad. You have a no-name tight end for their team.
He's a rookie, Austin Hooper. He was a pretty early pick, second or third.
Well, Patty Chung, our tight end killer, is covering him, and he roasts him for a whole drive.
Patty Chung beat the shit out of him the down before that. Patty Chung got a deflection in the end zone as they try to throw a fade over his head. But then the very next play, Hooper runs a post, and Chung gets totally lost in coverage. And boom, boom, there you go, touchdown.
Yeah, it was just
it wasn't great. The Falcons' offense was averaging 7.5 yards per play.
Yeah.
I mean, for the game.
Matt Ryan finished with a rating of 144.1.
And they lost. They lost with all that.
He was averaging more than 12 yards per attempt. I mean, are those records? Those have to be Super Bowl records. 7.5 yards per play, 12 yards per attempt. Has to be.
The rating probably
isn't, because I think Phil Sims had a perfect rating at one game.
Really?
That was against the Broncos. Yeah. Phil Sims, who would have thunk it? 22 for 25. But the big change for our defense was the pass rush. It was like our pass rush turned on in the second half and theirs turned off.
Well, because they
Trey Flowers had five quarterback hits.
Yeah, two and a half sacks. Well, they finally fucking did what we've been saying all season. You have five unreal pass rushers. Why not use them all at once a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They finally did it. Sheard, Chris Long, Hightower, Flowers,
Ninkovich,
Long, Hightower. Ninkovich. I mean, they're all fucking there. Like, send them all. They can't stop that.
Send all five every time. Then they're going to know what you're doing. True, I hear what you're saying. Trey Flowers, I mean, I can't believe some of these stats.
Yeah.
How many snaps was he even playing? He must have been playing damn near every snap. If he's racking up five quarterback hits, 2.5 sacks, he was a team leader in tackles.
Yeah,
tied for the team lead in tackles, rather. Unbelievable. What a coming out party for him. It reminds me of, what's his name, Coney Ealy from the Panthers last year. He had like 3 sacks in the Super Bowl against Peyton, stone-footed Peyton. Elsewhere, we got a sack from Hightower, obviously, on the strip sack, and then Branch and Sheard and Kyle Van Noy each had 0.5 sack.
Yep.
The big difference between the sacks that the Patriots were putting up and the Falcons were putting up, Brady was sacked 5 times, total of 24 yards lost.
Right.
Matt Ryan sacked 5 times, 44 yards lost.
Yeah.
They're giving up 9 yards a tackle. We're giving up less than 5.
Yep. That's huge.
The magic of Brady. Brady doesn't take those huge plays. Mm-hmm. Matt Ryan tried to
why wouldn't he just throw it away
on Trey Flowers? It's like, listen, dude. You're not going to run around him and, like, Doug Flutie this shit.
Yeah.
Just go,
don't understand why he wouldn't throw some of those away, or at least try.
What do you think about the officiating in this game?
I thought it was pro-Patriots. I think we got a lot of helpful calls. And the Falcons took 9 penalties. The Patriots only had 4 penalties. Mm-hmm. Now, a few of those were defensive holdings. I thought they were playing grabby defensively, at least on some of those flags were warranted. But then again, they don't show up close like replays of what Eric Rowe is doing downfield the time when they don't throw the flag. So he might have been grabbing too. I don't know. I think we got a lot of helpful third down calls.
We did.
That holding call was a hold. I mean, we saw what happened with Eric Fisher in that Chiefs-Pittsburgh game when he wrapped up James Harrison right under the chin. It's the same exact thing Jake Matthews did, and they were consistent with that call.
Yeah.
But that was a huge penalty.
Well, you had to call that.
Yeah, you had to call that. But, I mean, Mohamed Sanu ripped Logan Ryan's helmet off by the face mask.
They didn't call that.
They didn't call that one. I mean, he's got the ball. It's not like there weren't refs looking at him.
They definitely let them play.
They let them play a fair amount.
They let the boys play a little bit there.
How about the final call, the pass interference on Martellus Bennett?
That was P.I.
Yeah.
I mean, it's P.I. I hate the rule, you know, but that's
tough time.
NFL, you know.
It was big. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that would have. I think we would have still scored regardless of that play.
I think so too.
But
that was on first down, I think.
It was just a stupid play by the linebacker. Yeah. It's like he wasn't in bad coverage either. Just couldn't turn around.
Yeah, he had his head on the receiver, basically his back to the quarterback, and then he just ran through Bennett.
Looked like fucking Terrence Wheatley and what's the other guy's name? James Wilhite, you know, a couple years
Will
ago.
Hite.
Oh my God.
Didn't know how to freaking turn their heads and look for the ball.
Yeah, dude. So, those guys, I mean.
Looking back on the Patriots defense from 2011.
Yeah.
Record setting. I think that defense gave up the second or third most yardage ever in a season. And like number two on that list was the Packers the same year. It was just, that was bad.
They got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think that was the year like three quarterbacks went over 5,000 yards. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Jonathan Wilhite, man, you're bringing up some demons. There you go. Creech adding to the podcast.
Shit.
Bringing the ancient wisdom.
Yeah.
And overall.
You know that, can you believe, looking back in this game, that the Patriots had more quarterback hits than the Falcons did?
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Pretty good.
The Falcons had 8, and the Patriots had 12 quarterback hits.
What?
This is our defensive line hit Matt Ryan more than theirs hit Brady.
Especially
it
with
felt
the
like
time of possession numbers.
I know.
Really
I know. Yeah.
Brady had 62 passes. Matt Ryan had 23, and somehow we hit him more times.
Yeah. I mean, they barely even had the ball, it seemed like.
I know. It's they scored.
You're like looking
like
at the stats.
Possession, you know?
Yeah.
And then the Pats would just fucking trudge their way down the field.
Even the first half, it's like we had the ball.
Look at this.
For
40
most
minutes
of the first...
they possessed. I know they added all of overtime, but.
It's only 3 minutes
even,
in overtime.
Even in 60 minutes, that's huge.
Yeah. That's why I couldn't understand why we were playing so bad offensively in the first half. We had the ball, like, for 20 minutes of that half at least.
Well,
that's do anything.
The way we were playing offense was you have to play mistake free and convert third downs. And in the first half, we were having trouble converting third downs. And then in the second half, when we had to have it, and they were playing, maybe they were a little tired, maybe they were playing softer coverage, maybe we just had more urgency, we started to convert a lot of those. And especially when you know you got fourth down right behind it, maybe you feel a little more confident letting it rip. But we ended up at 7 of 14 third down conversions. 50%, pretty good on offense. I mean, that's as good as you're going to see. And 1 for 1 on fourth down, whereas the Falcons were sitting there at 1 for 8 on third down.
That was a big key. I mean, you look at stuff like that. They were up 21 points going into the half. They were, I think, 1 for 4 or 1 for 5 on third downs at that point, which is pretty good. I mean, there were a lot of third and shorts that we got kind of lucky that we got out of. But then they didn't have, you know, a lot, the ball a lot. Matt Ryan threw... He completed 14 passes or something.
Yeah, I think until late in the third quarter, he only had 15 passes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like you're looking at the stats. It's like the defense isn't playing that bad, but it really didn't seem, you know, it was clearly not going that way. So,
well, they basically gave up 21 points to the best offense in the league.
Right. They only gave up 28 overall. We said that would win, and it did. You know? Don't let him in the 30 and we'll win.
I was expecting a bigger Patriots blowout, but, you know, I'll take the W.
Oh, we all were.
Yeah.
We all were.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had, I think my prediction was 34-24, so I got one of them right. One of the numbers.
I said 31-17, I think.
Yeah, both
I didn't give the Falcons any goddamn credit. Rightfully so, though.
When they look back at the game, or, you know, like, some of these sideline videos and stuff are coming out, and they're saying how the Patriots' number one goal was to start fast and not get in a hole early.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they did. For them, I mean, if you draw up a game plan, if you draw up a strategy, and you do the exact opposite of the first thing you want to do, how often is it, all right, we're going to stop the run, and then you give up 200 yards on the ground. It's like you're not going to win if you just fuck up your initial strategy.
Yeah.
The Falcons should have kept running the ball. I mean,
I know.
They're just so fucking stupid sometimes.
Well,
you know?
Well, they tried a little, but the first half they had, I think, what was it, 9 rushes for like 90 yards or something? And then the second half they had 9 for 18.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, but like, they broke off a couple in the first half that were just like 30
ridiculous.
Yard runs.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
You know?
A couple times.
Ridiculous.
And, like, If you have a lead, that's what you do.
Exactly.
On offense,
you
know, you
really can't argue
you
that.
Rush
point.
Out the clock, especially fucking Super Bowl when you're up 20 points. God damn
yeah,
it!
Exactly.
What are you doing?
You gotta kill the clock a little bit, and they were just stopping it in every goddamn sense that they could.
Yeah.
And they kept fucking up.
Well,
I don't know what it was.
Not
I don't
our
know.
Fault. Everybody else is stupid. That's what I've been saying.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So dumb.
I'll take just it.
Epic brain farts on their side. Ugh. I felt kind of bad for Dan Quinn. They were interviewing him in the tunnel after the game. I'm like, at least let him talk to his team.
He didn't even know what happened.
Shove a microphone in his face.
It was funny watching all those guys. The epic collapse. Them on the sidelines and them on the field. Like even when overtime, Brady's just driving. The defensive players like yelling at each other, like not knowing what the fuck happened.
Yeah, the owner, Arthur Blank, is on the sideline in his three-piece suit, and he's just squeezing the shit out of that woman's hand. I don't know if that's his wife or his mistress or what's going on there, but he's just losing his mind with his little Hitler
rubbing
stash.
His mustache with the other hand.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man, you made a huge mistake coming to the sideline.
Oh, my God, what a fucking
Kraft
game.
Kraft was up in the booth, and they just when they won, they just showed him celebrating up there, and Arthur Blank is standing there, dick in his hand on the sideline.
Yeah.
God,
oh,
that
it's amazing.
Sucks.
I know.
Just fucking amazing.
That sucks.
Coming into this game, could you have scripted anything better? Like,
you can't write, nobody would have believed this.
I know. No one would have believed it.
In a, like, this kind of fucking comeback, everybody would have been like, no, Patriots will not go down 20 points in the Super
right.
Bowl. They're too good for that. That would never happen to Brady and Belichick. Are you kidding me? And, I mean, it did. And honestly, I was ready to fucking crucify him. I was ready to be like, oh, how could you do this? You know, Super Bowl 4-3, if you ask me, or big difference in 5-2.
Huge difference.
And I mean, and they pulled themselves out of it. It's just fucking, and the way they did it, just crazy. They
it was unbelievable.
Had to have so many things go their own way. And, you know, just about all of them did.
Yeah,
nobody would believe the Patriots would go down 20. No one would believe the other team would give up a 25-point lead with 23 minutes to go.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The whole thing, it was statistically almost impossible for that to happen.
Earlier, 99.8?
Yeah,
99.8%.
That mathematical model they have, right?
Yeah, 99.8%.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fucking scientific. Ridiculous. How fucked up is that?
If any of the listeners want to look it up, I don't know what you got to search, but you could search for win probability Super Bowl 51, and you'll see the graph of the Patriots win probability, and it is on the bottom of the graph. You can't even notice the line. It's so close to zero for like 20 minutes of the gameplay, and then it just spikes through the roof at the very end. It's unbelievable.
That's awesome. Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
And then after the game, confetti falls, the whole thing, and we go to the trophy presentation. Bob Kraft, nice little speech. He said, everything that has transpired over the last 2 years, this is unequivocally the sweetest one yet.
Yeah.
Very nice thing to say. Goodell, well, Goodell tried to congratulate him and then was swiftly booed off the stage.
He was booed off
the
stage.
That was overpowering.
Couldn't
after
even hear
the Patriots
him.
Witnessed.
That was awesome.
Pats fans are the beneficiaries of the most improbable comeback in Super Bowl history and still relentless hatred right afterwards.
It's unbelievable.
Just zero forgiveness in the heart of Pat's Nation.
They're just we knew this was going to happen the entire time. We knew you were going to be on the fucking podium at the end of the day, so we're going to boo the shit out of you.
Yeah. Everyone's been waiting for that moment. Since the beginning of this year, 4 games suspended for Brady. Brady sent that text to Edelman. I don't know if you saw that recirculate like before the season. Everyone fucking hates us. Let's win it all this year.
Wait, Edelman said that? Or
Brady
said that?
Texted
that
to Edelman.
Brady texted that to him, I think.
Oh, that's great.
You know, the revenge tour, like trying to kick everyone's fucking teeth in the whole fucking year. To have it culminate in the Super Bowl, to, a Super Bowl win. Is just fucking. I mean, that's incredible in itself. Never mind the best comeback victory. You said NFL could be all sports. I mean, it's up there for all. You know, that's gonna be talked about for for sports
higher.
In general. Yeah, that's as high as they get.
Yeah,
in a single game. Yeah, you could think back to some of the series in like other sports.
Right.
Red Sox, Yankees 3-0. Something like that.
Even still, I mean, it's up there. It's in the conversation.
It's got to be.
It's crazy.
It's got to be.
Crazy.
I mean, for like, one game.
Like I said, nobody would have believed you going into it. You know? It's
thoroughly unbelievable.
Yeah, you would never thought it would even get there, like you said, but just for... It's, like, still shocking. Like, it's still, like, and, you know, now we have bragging rights all year. Unbelievable.
Yeah, when I don't know about you guys, but I certainly spent, like, an hour and a half of that just wallowing, just thinking, oh, shit, no.
Yeah.
No, not again. No, yeah. We can't, it can't go this way. And then for it to be completely flipped on its head and you feel 100% about everything, you're like, oh, yeah, Brady's not, he's not bad. He's, in fact, he's better than we ever dreamed he was.
And he's 39.
Yeah.
He did that as a 39-year-old quarterback. You remember what Peyton looked like?
Man.
Peyton looked like at 39 last year? Couldn't even throw the fucking ball. Never mind lead a 25-point comeback.
Throw fucking 62 times.
Yeah.
When was the last time he threw 60 times?
Darts. I don't even
Long
know.
Long time. Yeah. Usually.
That's got to be
that's
up
absurd.
Near.
466 yards.
Yeah.
That's why he won the MVP.
And most of the time, you
he
see,
only got two of the TDs and he threw the bad pick, but like,
yeah.
He was their entire fucking offense
and oh, yeah.
team in the frickin', so offense, you know.
Well, not to mention when in the past, when Brady's had to throw over 50 points, or 50 passes, I mean, statistically, his win-loss record is not very good. Like, yeah. They don't want you to throw 50 passes. That's not good. That means there is no running game. And there was no fucking running game. Except for James White, your boy granny, running the ball.
I know, right? I've been saying all season, do not hand him the ball. And the guy's got two fucking rushing touchdowns, including the walk-off game winner.
Yeah.
Eat your words, dude. I will gladly eat my words on that one.
Two rushing TDs and, what was it, 14 catches?
14 catches. 14
catches.
Super Bowl record. Yeah, the closest I got to Brady throwing 63 balls was 59 passes last fall against the Bills.
Did we win or lose?
Oh, we won that game.
That's the
Bills. I think it was on the road.
Yeah, it was on the road.
That was the game they like beat the fuck out of Rex Ryan. It was Rex Ryan's first home game with the Bills.
Oh, yeah.
And he was getting everybody fired up, and the Pats just went out and were like, stomped nah, him. I don't think so.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris Hogan played well in that game for the Bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now he's gone. He was a little bit quiet this game, but he made a big catch in overtime. He had a catch early in the game.
And he helped get us there, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Holding it against him.
Yeah, you're not going to put up a .180 consistently in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Just all good things. I mean, I don't even know where to go from here. We'll be back as the offseason progresses. We'll do more episodes about free agency and what's going to happen with re-signing our players, franchise tag, the draft, all that stuff. But for right now, I mean, we can just focus on Brady's got 5 rings. He's tied with Charles Haley for the most ever
as a player.
Belichick's got 5 rings. He's the only head coach ever. I think Lombardi had 5 NFL championships.
Right.
But that was against like 14 teams.
That's 3 NFL championships. And then didn't he win 2 Super Bowls?
Yes.
Yeah,
so that's what it's defined as. Right?
Yeah. So they
Tom Brady has more Super Bowl rings than 30 of the NFL teams. So 30 or 29 teams. Well, he's got 5. How many people have 5? There's the Steelers have 6
the
in their franchise.
Niners,
Cowboys, Niners, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
28 teams. It's insane. More
than
their history of their franchise. One guy.
What a stud. And then everyone comes out this week and they're like, how much longer can he do it? And I don't. Some people have just been like, well, he's got to walk off a cliff at some point. And then you watch that game and you're like, I mean, could it be 4 more years? Could it be longer? Like, nobody has any idea. What it looks like right now is he's going to stop playing when he doesn't want to play anymore.
Yeah.
Because
there
are zero.
That is what it seems like.
Physically, he's never been better.
There's two things I heard that I really liked. One from LeBron basically saying, you know, to watch a guy at 39 years old not just play the best he's ever played, but some of the best quarterbacking we've ever seen is fucking ridiculous. Like, that doesn't follow common logic that a 39-year-old is playing some of the best football we've ever seen in general, not just for him personally. And then Primetime. I love Primetime on these talk shows. I think he's great these days. He's sitting there with LaDainian Tomlinson. He's like, you know, we're Hall of Famers. We're wearing our gold jackets, and we're supposed to be the best, and we're sitting here watching this game going, how the hell is this fucking guy doing this? It's like, that's ridiculous. The 39-year-old quarterback. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, I mean, Tomlinson's younger than Brady is.
Yeah.
granted, different positions, but, you know, he's been sitting on a couch for 6 years.
Yeah, it's insane.
And I mean, he's getting paid and he's doing talking and all that. I'm not trying to talk down about him.
But you gotta love the
help. Okay, like, optimistically, I'm saying Brady could play for 10 years, I'm saying. That's not out of the realm of possibility. Can
you
say that, too?
I don't know, 10 years?
It might be 2 years, but 50? I'm not kidding when play I say almost it could 50? Be 10. If he actually wants to go until he can no longer play, physically play position.
Yeah, he'll probably die 10 years ago was the 2007 season.
I know.
If that puts that
it's
in perspective.
It's fucking absurd.
Wow, that is crazy.
That's just how to think about it.
Yeah.
And I think the Pats would get rid of him if that was
But
he'll probably
retire.
He'll retire if he wins one more ring, I think.
I think there's...
Because he's just, I mean, undisputed, and he's got everything.
I don't know if
he... And he just walks away.
He doesn't seem like the type that's going to...
What
win.
Left does he have to prove?
He's got nothing left to prove.
I think he just
still,
likes playing
the
game.
He's still playing is a testament to the fact that
yeah.
he's not like, oh, let me get a ring and I'll walk off like Peyton or Elway.
I think he just loves playing the game. Like he enjoys that grind for whatever reason. I think they have a sick. I mean, they have a really good chance of winning it next year. Say it right now.
They're
5-1 favorite. They're 5-1 odds right now to win next year in Vegas.
Brady,
that's fucking
Everyone
insane.
Get ready.
Well, dude, they did it. They did 3 and 4 years
okay,
to start
so
his career.
It was just like a repeat of the early dynasty years. So they win 3 out of 4.
Dude,
you win the second two. I mean, could he walk off then?
Maybe.
That's such a legendary story. That's all I'm thinking.
8 years apart, 3 out of 4. You know,
that
that's
would
unbelievable.
Be a
Wouldn't that
they
be
have,
crazy?
Their team is set up for it this year, too. They have tons of cap space. They've got some free agents, but they can do a lot of damage.
But you know, I don't think he's in it for the story either, you know?
No.
So he doesn't think about it like that.
Trade
he's just
drops.
Like, no, I just want to fucking play.
It'd be an amazing story.
They're going to have a good fucking team next year. I mean, they by far, I think, had the best team this year, and they're probably going to have the best team next year, too.
Certainly in the AFC. Up. AFC is
I mean,
not
they lost
so
one
hot.
Game with Brady starting.
Right.
That was it, yeah. Jeez. So he was...
Lost one game with Brady starting.
14-1. Wow.
This lost that game by what, 3 points?
17-2.
Wow.
This
team
really,
really good.
Wow.
Really
That's
good.
Like...
Underratedly.
I mean, yeah.
The history of this franchise, we had, 14-5 in 2001, 17-2 in 2003, 2004, 2016.
You know, the defense has been getting shit on all their year. They only let up 21 points. 21 points this game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
They gotta keep some people, though. They gotta re-sign Hightower.
Yeah, they gotta re-sign Hightower.
Must sign, you ask me.
Butler, couple of DNs.
Give him
Butler,
what he's asking for.
Ranch.
I mean, Butler, if you really want to, you know, be a Jew, which the Patriots always do, they'll put it off for another year because they hold all the leverage on Butler.
What we'll do is we'll tender him at the highest level, but somebody's going to sign him to an offer sheet. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody signed C.J. Anderson to an offer sheet.
So they only tendered him at a third round, though,
so we're going to have to match the contract.
And they're not letting him go.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to let him go.
You just can't.
Because there's only so much they can offer him in that scenario, right?
They've got $65 million in cap.
Yeah, yeah. That's a standard amount.
$65 million cap space. I mean, that's a shitload.
Yeah. I know, right?
Re-sign Hightower, damn it.
No, right?
Don't mess this up, all right? He's the centerpiece of your defense.
And you're just going to let him walk.
If he comes back, I honestly think repeat is entirely possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't let
You still
Jamie.
Have McCourty. You still have fucking Butler.
Well,
you got
just
Malcolm
for
Brown, you got fucking.
You got Chung.
You got Chung. You got
Trey Flowers.
Trey Flowers, thank you.
Well, just
we can
the...
bring back Chris Long on easy money. Alan Branch is going to need.
We need Branch.
Yeah, he's a free agent too.
Yeah,
right?
He's going to need more money than he's been making, but not crazy money.
No, I mean,
no, he'll get a good deal.
He'll probably get 5 a year.
You would
seven.
Think we'd be able to sign all them just because what Belichick has done with, you know, we had that logjam with Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins, Hightower, Butler, and we're like, what are we going to do? Well, we got rid of two of them. So
yeah, exactly.
Like,
those two are probably $25, $30 million a year almost.
Yeah, so it's like, okay.
Chandler and Jamie.
Belichick is just a genius. If I had to pick two that had to go, I would have taken those two. I've always liked Hightower better than Collins.
Did you? I loved him.
Yeah.
I thought Collins was great. I'm still a little bitter. But we won the Super Bowl. I mean, you trade your best, arguably best defensive player, and you win the fucking Super Bowl. When does that happen?
Yeah, we traded basically. I mean, I don't know if Jamie made the Pro Bowl last year, but Chandler definitely did.
Yeah.
And Jamie was a second-team All-Pro last year. So that's the caliber player we got rid of. But back to your point about not letting Hightower go. if we're using that the narrative of this is similar to the 01, 03, 04 initial dynasty, that would be like after the 2003 Super Bowl, letting Teddy Bruschi walk.
Yeah.
Middle linebacker, yeah. Leader of the defense, wears 54.
Which never would have happened.
Yeah, that just wouldn't happen.
On Hightower's, I think, physically a much more gifted player all around.
Nobody would disagree with that.
All around.
I mean, that's just how they make him these days. Yeah. But like, he's the best leader of your defense, good leader.
Yeah.
Quiet guy, goes about his business, perfect patriot, you know, drafted him in the first round, paid that man his money.
Paid that man his money. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they paid Mayo. I don't see why they wouldn't pay high.
Yeah, they have
maybe
to.
It's just...
They just had the biggest boner for Jerron Mayo.
Oh, yeah.
They really did.
Huge, huge.
They loved him.
Yeah, he was a workman. Hightower's had a couple injuries. Maybe that's part of the concern.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that'll save him some bucks, but just, like I said, just bring him back.
Yeah. I also thought it was pretty cool how... I mean, I didn't attend the parade. I don't know if... I think one of you guys did. Did both of you? I don't know.
They walked right outside my building for work, so we got to look down.
Oh, yeah, I went to the parade. It was snowing, and then it was pouring, and then it was freezing.
Well, I just thought it was cool how they were all, the whole team was talking about 5 Super Bowls. It's like they were, all of them were like, 5, baby! And it's not like any of, most of them, not almost none of them had 5. It was just
it's
Brady
like
Belichick.
James White was in elementary school when they won the first couple.
And they're all talking about 5. I thought that was so fucking cool. Like, they thought that was the best thing.
Gronk was like, I'm coming back for 6.
Yeah, it was sick.
I was like, all right, I hope you do.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, I mean, they did it without fucking Gronk.
I know. They didn't even have fucking Gronk. That's insane.
It didn't even matter. They were that good.
I know. Health-wise, you really have to look at this team. It was pretty impressive, besides Gronk, you know, that we still had pretty much our whole team left at the end.
Yeah, I know.
Night and day from last season.
Yeah. That played a part, for sure. Man. I mean, like, healthiest team always wins, you know, don't you feel like? End of the
it
year?
Helps, yeah.
Doesn't that seem to happen?
Just ask the Packers.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, right.
The Falcons had even fewer injuries than we did this season in terms of numbers of games lost. So, yeah, we got, I don't know if it's lucky or they changed up the scheme or whatever it was, but a lot healthier this season. Gronkowski was the big miss. And even, like, losing Vollmer, if you told me in August Vollmer wasn't going to play all season,
we would win the Super Bowl.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It's going to be Marcus Cannon.
How about a story?
Yeah. I know. Just becomes one of the top 3 right tackles in the league just because of the coach, I guess. I don't know.
Like, yeah. Scar just digs him out of whatever hell he was in and just sculpts him.
And he gets re-signed to a good, decent contract.
Superior right tackle. Yeah. And he got paid and he deserved it.
Unbelievable. So now we don't have to worry about that.
Well,
yeah, and they got 2 young guys on the inside, Nate Solder.
And David Andrews in the middle.
He had a bad Super Bowl, but what can you do?
Yeah, Freeney beat him on one of those sacks right after the strip sack.
I forgot he played before this game.
That was his first sack since October, Dwight Freeney.
I know. That's what something about that Falcons team. I don't know if they were all coked up or, you know, on Molly or something flying around because they were flying.
Wild accusation, JJ.
Oh, yeah. No. Probably not there's no truth to it. I can't even say not probably, but like wouldn't surprise me if a report came up. Everyone was flying on Molly. That's why they had all these guys had fucking sacks that couldn't do shit all year. Like
Grady Jarrett's the ringleader.
Couldn't fucking play man coverage all year. And then all of a sudden their cornerbacks are all like all pros on the outside.
When Freeney relapses.
Yeah. It's like, something seemed a little sketchy to me. I don't know what it was, but wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, we're doing barroom theories this week on the Patriots
podcast. Some drug dealer in Atlanta like blows the whole story open. Yeah, I sold fucking 50 grand worth of the team.
I put it straight in their mouth guards. They're all numbing up. Imagine that.
That would be ridiculous.
That'd be great.
That'd be crazy.
Do you guys have any final thoughts about Super Bowl 51? How about Lady Gaga? She was all right. I had no issues with that.
Me neither.
Yeah.
People were like making fun of her stomach. I was so depressed at that point, I didn't give a flying fuck.
Yeah,
I was like,
I kind of felt that way too, but I didn't realize at the beginning that those were all drones.
Yeah, me neither. I thought that was all CGI.
I was like, what?
I figured
it kind of looked like a roof, and like I couldn't, it didn't, but not really. I couldn't really figure it out.
How are they arranging the stars?
Yeah.
People were shitting on Lady Gaga because they said she was like looked fat or something. I don't know.
They thought she looked fat?
I thought she looked fine.
Yeah, totally.
It's like, who's the asshole that would say that?
Did they notice any of the players on the field with those fucking guts? the linemen who have belly buttons that looks like you could go up to your wrist in.
Alan Branch is a big man.
Yeah, right. commercials sucked.
Commercials, yeah, I don't remember.
There were a couple I liked.
I don't remember any.
Mr. Clean.
Oh, Mr. Clean's trying to bang the housewife.
Uh-huh. And he does. Yeah.
Made
Did
him
he? Well, no, because it turns into just his wife, her husband.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah.
And they bang.
They made him a lot smaller.
Well, they made him more in shape.
And smaller. He used to be
really?
Enormous.
He used Did to be he like, used to be a giant?
Yeah, I think so. He always, at least I took
things up.
I took it that way, that he was a giant. What, the Michelin Man? Maybe the Michelin Man. No, I don't
Maybe
know.
Maybe you're thinking of the Bounty Quicker Picker Upper. The only other one I can remember was Melissa McCarthy, like, hugging a tree. And getting, she got
that was pretty good
cut
too.
Down from that tree. Yeah, it seemed all right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not too much.
No.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us. Special guest,
Reach.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe I'll return in the future.
We would love that.
Absolutely.
Here at the Past Podcast. We could use some new blood around here from time to time. And you joined for a great episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. This has been the Super Bowl 51 recap edition. Patriots. Yep. Five Super Bowl championships.
Five.
Brady.
How many is
Belichick.
That? And how many? Brady's been starting, what, 16 seasons?
Yeah. Well, 15 if you don't count 2008 when he was.
Right. Playing. Okay. So 15 seasons. That means he wins one out of every three.
Yeah. And he goes to two out of every three. He's been to. No. He goes out to one out of every two. He's been to seven.
It's insane.
And he goes to the AFC championship game more than two out of three. 11 out of 15.
I mean, okay, so
Come
they're
on.
Coming back. They're going to win the division. They're going to have a bye.
And they're going to go
they're
to the gonna championship.
They're going to play at home in the first round.
Yeah.
So they're going to be favored.
Yeah.
So they're probably looking at a walk into another AFC championship next year.
Pretty much. I mean, you can making, pretty
you know,
much say that.
Whether it's home or road, it depends on the regular season. We'll see. But that's what I would put my money down
there
on.
There you go. We're making January 2018 predictions in February of 2017.
Yes.
11 months in advance. You heard it here first, as if nobody else is thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Everyone's already picking them. I mean, they're 5-1 odd in Vegas. That's even worse. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
You put
wait
$100 on,
first.
You win $500. It's almost not even worth it.
I know. I hear you. But keep betting for them, because I would like them to be 1-1 favorites.
Yeah, right.
Imagine that. That's impossible. Can't happen.
Oh.
Okay, thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back in a week or two, something along those lines. We're going to ease into an off-season schedule here. You know, mm-hmm. Belichick said no days off, but that doesn't apply to podcasters.
Yeah,
so
that's going to be the terminology for next year, no days off.
We're going to take a couple days off. So thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll be back soon to talk about the off-season priorities for the Pats, your Super Bowl champion.
Super Bowl champs.
Wow.
All right. See you guys.
Adios.